Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Saturday morning, so we are talking about question and answers and feedback and continuing our series on developing supernatural goals, overcoming the negative, and developing the positive areas of our lives. Obviously, that's in cooperation and dependence on God. We often neglect that area, though, because we think that God is only interested in us from a spiritual perspective, not recognizing that His whole goal for us in this time here is that we would become whole, complete, entire, spirit, soul, and body. That our spirit is already done. The work He wants to do in your spirit has already been complete. So now what we're all working on is our soul and our body. You don't need to develop spiritually. You don't need to become mature spiritually. You're already there. The work that's being done now is to teach us, to train us, how to live as spirit beings, as spiritually complete here in this world. And to do that, the Lord frees us, the Lord heals us, the Lord teaches us and trains us how to depend on Him. And dependence on Him is merely being available to receive His life through our spirit into our soul and into our body. Conceptually, we can make sense of that. But since this is such a personal, unique adventure for each one of us, it's often hard to relay because it's not going to follow a set pattern, and it's going to take a long time. One of the reasons we've spent so much time in our Monday night series on time is so that we can have an adjusted view of time. Time is neither our friend or our enemy. Time is a created element of nature that we, you and I, have authority over. So, as we start to change our view of time, we're not going to be concerned about wasting it, about being productive in it, about losing it, or about letting those things in the past time influence our present time or affect the way we anticipate our future time. If we begin to see our past, present, and future as one, it is all now. And we have authority over it now. And we can rule and reign over it now. And this is why we've also talked, spent a lot of time about knowing what we believe and how we develop those beliefs. Even that concept of time, as you begin to see time from a different perspective, and you begin to see that God's way of doing things is not only distinct from ours, but what he does and the way he does it does not line up with what we've been taught. And since for most of us, that's the way we have developed our beliefs, is we have been taught our beliefs. That is something he is changing as well. So if we're not taught our beliefs, how do we get them? How do we develop them? We pursue what is important to us. We gather all information, and then we test it. For most Christians, there is no difference between faith and hope. For most, it is, well, I know what I believe, and I hope I'm right. One of the, shall we say, tricks that occurs not only in Christianity or any religion, but also in politics and other fields of endeavor, is to make promises that you have to make a commitment to find out if those promises are based on reality. In the natural, when a politician says, if you elect me, I'll do thus and so. Well, the problem is to find out if they're really going to be able to do thus and so, you have to elect them first. Now, the way you know, the way you test that, unfortunately, isn't going to be able to be done until, because it's all out of your control. You've allowed that politician to take your control. So, what do you have, in that case, what do you have to judge on? Their past performance. Their past history. Is what they're promising consistent with their past? Now, likewise, in Christianity, so often what is spent so much time on is something that is not under your control and is promised that if you believe and have faith in such and such, that after a certain period of time, if you commit to this, after a certain period of time, you will receive some kind of reward. A broad example of this is that if you believe in heaven, and if you are, if you believe in God, when you die, you will go to heaven. Now, pretty much, most religions have that kind of a format. There's going to be a variance in the idea of belief. There's going to be a variance in the idea of God. And there's going to be a variance in the idea of heaven. But the whole premise is the same. You have no way of testing until it after the fact, and then it's too late. So what we want to do is challenge that whole approach. And even who's teaching you, very often the teachings you're being, the promises you're being given are not to be challenged, are not to be questioned, or they cannot be tested. It's all about this nebulous idea of faith. But God is not that way. In Christianity, our God is alive and well and here on planet Earth and in your life. And he's active in your life.
And he has challenged us to prove him, to test him. There's a difference between testing God and tempting God and presuming on him. But because we are lining up our soul with our spirit, and we're doing that by joining God, he is committed to revealing himself as he is now. And he does that by giving us opportunities to experience him. Now, some of these opportunities are not pleasant. So one of the things we want to do is make sure God never has to put us in a situation that's uncomfortable because we've ignored him in those areas where it would have been easy, just as easy to learn them in small things, but he had to use a big thing. So we want to learn to be sensitive and aware. And on Fridays, we've been talking a lot about his personal presence. We want to become so aware of his moving and his personal presence that the subtleties of his actions picture a very still body of water, a lake, or a pond. When any slight wind comes along, you see that ripple. When a fish leaps, you hear that sound and you see the ripple on the surface. Or an insect lands, you can see the ripple on the surface from where it lands. So any movement is evident, is clear. It doesn't have to be a thunderstorm with lightning striking the ground to get your attention. So that's what we want to be, in that realm between our soul and our spirit. Still and quiet and ready. Actively ready in quietness. And we've talked before how this has nothing to do with being passive. Passive is not rest. Passive is letting, is not being involved. Passive is letting whatever happens to you happen. And God will do whatever is necessary to shake you out of that, because he wants us joined with him. One of the aspects of your soul that he wants is your will. We very often have this misguided idea that our will is free. Well, it's not. It's bound by your beliefs. It's bound by your flesh. It's bound because it has no life of its own other than its self-life, looking out for itself. So now that eternal life is available to free your will, it's very likely that your will is not going to want to be free. It's going to want to maintain the way things have always been. So we very often come up with beliefs that accommodate the way things have been done, whether they've worked or not. And this is one of the things we want to be aware of, is that when something's not working in your life, question it. Whether it's your marriage, or the way you're raising your kids, or just how you're thinking about work, or your neighbor. This is one of the reasons we're going through the developing goals, is to try to learn and bring some of these things to the surface to find out, okay, what's going on here? What is really involved in the way I'm approaching this aspect of my life? And everything that's going on in your life, we can think of it as a ripple on your pond. It is God's desire for you that your ripple, that your pond be rippleless, that you be fully available to Him, and that the only ripples on your pond are from Him. So whether it's still we are at one with Him, or whether there are ripples from Him, we are in one with, at one with Him. But right now, the ripples He is casting on the surface of our pond are often lost in all the ripples from all the stones and all the fish and all the activity going on above, below, and on the surface of our ponds. So again, that doesn't mean that we get rid of everything that's causing a ripple. It's that we put it into its appropriate place where it's not drawing attention. And God alone is the one who can determine its proper place in our lives. So it's not that the fish aren't there. It's that they're under the water. So we're not thinking we're going to be isolating ourselves or that we're going to be cutting people or things out of our lives. It's just we're going to be ruling and reigning over the boundaries and over the time and over the relationships themselves, not to control them, but to control the gates of our boundaries. So that when God does assign us to something, we have the resources available. In one of my other teachings, I talk a lot about tithing and giving, and how because we believe, so many of us believe what we believe, we have a hard time giving when God asks us to, because we don't have enough, because we haven't been aware of what we've been doing on our own. So even with ministry, you know, I'm sure if you're anything like me, you get called on a regular basis by some very good charities, some, you know, questionable, or, you know, areas of politics or other things to donate to. And some of us have a tendency to, just to get them off our back, just give them a little bit, give them a little bit, give them a little bit, and of course they'll keep calling. Then when somebody calls and God says, I want you to give them $500, you go, God, I don't have $500. And you start thinking about where it went. And you find out you gave $5 here, $10 there. And you nickel and dimed away resources that you were supposed to be stewarding, so that when God did say, give 500, you didn't have it. So that's what we're looking at, not just in the finances, but in every aspect of our lives. We start to rule and reign over our time by spending it where God wants us. We start to steward our emotions by spending our emotions where God wants us to. likewise our mind and our will, what we do and what we say, what we get involved in, what we devote our interests to, our focus. So he is reining us in so that we can rule and reign. So we've been talking about this series, and just tying this in real quick, you've been doing homework, and that homework hopefully is bringing you some clarity about where you are now. And when we talk about homework, this is one of those areas where you can be testing the Lord, starting with, Lord, how much time should I be spending on this? And we've been asking, Lord, are these the three items you want to be working on? And then the first part of the research was thinking in terms of the past, the present, and the future, who is involved, who was involved, and who was and is missing. And then thinking in terms of the past, the present, and the future, how did you feel, how do you feel, and how do you want to feel in the future? Now, these you want to apply to each one of the three aspects of area and areas that you want to learn how to overcome. They keep on cropping up in your life of an area of negativity that either drag you down or interfere with your rest and your freedom. Or your relationships. Basically anything that is interfering with your healing. Whether it's fear of something in the future or something, regret that you did or something that was done to you in your past or a crisis you're going through now. And as we do that, be open to the Lord speaking to you and bringing to the surface different things that he wants to talk to you about. I call these rabbit trails. Now, they can be even more beneficial than anything we can do. For instance, if you're looking at a common situation of divorced parents when you were children, you were growing up, and your parents divorced, and you've made your list about who was involved and who wasn't there, and how you felt, and how you wish you could feel now, and what all the different people involved. While you're doing that, you may keep on thinking about a friend you had when in middle school. This is obviously just an example. And your friend keeps coming to your mind. And you keep on trying to refocus. Well, if that happens and keeps on happening, that's the Lord trying to draw your attention to something else he wants to talk to you about. Now, this is real easy to follow him on these rabbit trails. And don't worry about trying to finish. This is why we're giving ourselves all the time in the world to do this. The Lord knows how to get to some things the most, with the least amount of effort in the shortest amount of time. So the more we follow him, the more we'll get done. So here you go. When your middle school friend keeps coming up, or an incident, or anything, or just a thought, an incident that happened to you or you heard of, Lord, is there anything else you want to talk about here? And then follow him on that rabbit trail. Let him take you. And then he'll bring you back, or you can come back when you're done. And generally, that's what I like to do when we're working with any memory or fear or anticipation, anxiety. Lord, is there anything, and we've completed an aspect of it. Lord, is there anything else you want to do here? Is there anything else you want to talk about here? And just follow through. This way, we are, again, depending on God and learning how to rule and reign over times past and times future. So that in this time, in our present time, we are free. We are free to be united, independent, and bonded to God, our soul, to our spirit. So, this week for homework, I want you to review what you've already gone through and what you've written down. And just ask the Lord, Lord, is there anything else you want to talk about regarding this incident? And if it's off topic, that's fine. Just follow it. Now, before we were doing the opposite. We were really narrowing it down. But we've gotten down. The whole purpose is to learn how to hear from Him in a specific, meaningful way, and then let Him take it from there. And setting supernatural goals is not something that we're usually taught about. Just left up to, well, God's doing it and faith is doing it. But never, okay, here's how you do it and this is what it looks like and this is what the results will be. So because it's brand new, we can let the Lord do new things in our lives. We can let Him be Himself in new ways. There's not going to be a wrong way to do this. Because basically all you're doing is setting your hand, saying, you know, God, I'm here, teach me. And He's going to take it from here. He is going to teach you and train you everything you need to know for this. Now, it's very possible that of the three things, you may have thought that they were one or more was already resolved, that there were no issues. It is a strong possibility that the Lord got your attention onto that because He wanted to go off on one of these rabbit trails that brought you to a time and place and a thought pattern, a thought process, that then allowed Him to intervene and uncover what that wound is. Because you know what we do when we're talking about either the past or the present, we hide the wound. We cover it up, and we're very good at it. And a lot of times, it even wears us out physically because it's taking so much energy to hide and deny the wound or the actions from the past, or deny or live with our fear of the future. And very often we're left with nothing to manage our present. So just go back and review, and we didn't get to our question and answer. We'll get to that first thing next week. But review what you've already gone through and let the Lord bring to the surface any other issues that may or may not be related. And just say, Lord, what else do you want to bring to the surface here? And follow through in our usual way. So thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. We'll be getting back together on Monday night at 6:30 for Practical Christianity. Have a great weekend.